All right. Sabbath blessings, everyone. Can you guys hear me? How's that sound? Coming in loud and clear. All right. That sounds good. Good. So again, Sabbath blessings. All praises to the Most High. He is worthy to be praised. It is a beautiful day. Today versus last week, I don't know what's going on in my neck of the woods, but it's like every Sabbath, or at least the weekend is concerned, the weather is rotating or alternating. Last week it was cold, and this week it was warm, and then next week they're predicting again to drop back into the 50s. Now, all throughout the week it was warm, and then yesterday it was extremely warm, and today it's just it's gorgeous outside. When I came home yesterday evening, when I got off of work, my daughter, she ran up to me and she was showing me a little garlic plant. I guess it had, I had bought it for her. She was having a little spell with her throat about a month ago. But she went and took some collado, and I made some honey and some lemons. Some things to get her healed up, and then we didn't even have to use the garlic because she was good to go. But we kept it. We kept it on the kitchen counter. We kept it. And I guess she pulled it and showed it to me that some little sprouts was coming out of it. So we're going to take that thing and we're going to put that in the ground and see what we can get out of it. It's just amazing just to see some of those vegetables that we had just kind of on the counter or just laying around, and all of a sudden these things are growing. So we're going to take them on. The potatoes are doing the exact same thing. Some of the unused potatoes that I had, that always happens with potatoes, but the garlic was kind of a surprise, a little pleasant surprise. So we're going to take that and get it outside and get it into the dirt. There are some nurseries also that we want to visit with the children to get some plants and do some things. There's a big, huge one in Jacksonville, huge one called the Plant Place. We're just kind of looking over it. So maybe like one Sunday we'll be able to go down and see what we can get, bring it back up here and put some things into the dirt. All right, give me 1 second, you guys. It's kind of dippy in here. I'm going to cut this AC down a little bit. All right, I'm back. Hope that was too long. Okay, so a lot to get into this week. This was a very, very interesting week news-wise. Even from the various articles that I've been skimming, the videos on the ones that's been sent to me, or even talking to people at work and the questions that they present, just having regular, normal conversations, and then topics come up. Of course, COVID is always a universal subject. I mean, that's just every day, all day. That's 24/7. That's going to come up with someone. But they're going to talk about it regardless, whether or not I'm out and about or at the grocery store or at work. That's always going to come up. But I did have a interesting one with a coworker. Just it's amazing when you get to talk to people and they start sharing like personal details of their lives. And you don't expect the conversation to sway in a specific direction, but when it does, and it goes to a subject that you're familiar with, then it's quite exciting. It really, really is. I did have one of my coworkers that I was working with on Friday or yesterday, and we just having just a little conversation, just going back and forth. Probably about an hour left before we got ready to leave, and we were just talking. She brought up the topic of religion, just out of the blue, just brought it up. She said, "Well, I don't know about your view on religion, but I have an idea, but I'm just not sure. But to me, I view God as simply amazing. And when I'm out in nature, I see him for who he is." Now, again, I wasn't expecting this, but based on some of the conversations that we had in the past, But it just came out of the blue. It was like, okay, where did that come from? And she continued by saying, I'm not like super religious or anything. My religion is very screwed up from my childhood. Well, I said, well, is there anything you want to talk about? I'm here. If you want to share something, it's safe with me. I'm not going to go around, you know spreading whatever you want to share. That's not in me. I learned lessons about doing that in the past. So, just if there's something that, you want to kind of get off your chest, then by all means, do share. So we were just talking, and she was just sharing with me about, personal details in her life. And she was telling me about her Catholic upbringing and her dad. Now, before going into anything further, I stopped and asked her about her dad because I remember earlier when we had conversations, and she was telling me about her mom. See, I didn't know it all. I figured that her dad was still living because I know she said her mom had passed away, but I didn't know about her dad. She said her dad is also dead. Now, I think she's about maybe 13 or 14 years older than me. I'm pushing 40, so she was talking about things that, like music-wise, that she grew up with that I had no idea, but I knew my mom was kind of familiar with, so I was assuming she was in her mid-50s, not quite 60 yet, but when she told me that her dad had died, I had asked what happened. And she was telling me, well, at his funeral, the people who were there on his side of the family had no idea that he had children, and particularly four children, and I being the youngest one. So you're telling me this was like a big secret, it was hidden, like nobody knew? Like, yeah, nobody knew, so like, why didn't they know? Well, he hid us because of the things that he was doing to us. I'm like, well, what are you talking about? Well, when I was 8 years old, he molested me. He molested me until I was like 14. And he was a Catholic. He was just born and bred. He would go to Mass every Sunday. And as soon as she said that, my eyes kind of lit up a little bit. And she kept going. She kept talking. She said, I know this isn't the Church of God. I mean, are you kidding me? This is what she said. There is no way. And again, she kept just going on and on and on about the church. And I said, as soon as she said that, it's like a fire just came down on me. And from that point to the time it was time to leave, that's all we talked about was Rome. And she got into the conversation about the priest and the molesting and the pedophilia. She got all into it. Again, I wasn't expecting it. It just came out of left field. But I could see her eyes lighting up, and I started going on about the cases, and going back and forth with the priests and how to get out of this stuff, and Rome and how they got the people in position to make sure to get out of it. I mean, we're just going back and forth. It was just absolutely amazing. She said, Antonio, because at my job they know me by my first name, not my middle name, which is Andre. She said, I don't care about the statues. I don't care about the idols. I don't care about none of their services. Services themselves, it was quite redundant. I hated it as a child. All we did, we would just sit down, stand up, we would read this, say that. It was so boring. I just wanted out of there. But it was the pedophilia. It was just something that I could not overlook. And again, we just kept going back and forth, just talking. It was just amazing because that was something I just did not expect. I didn't see it coming. But to be able to know what I know about Rome and to be able to talk about it, I could see her eyes lighting up, like, you know all about this stuff. I'm like, yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it just to brag or anything, but I'm quite familiar with the church and the things they've done, the crimes, the cruelties. It's endless. It really, really is. So it really is amazing seeing how the Father puts people in your walk. He puts them in your path that he knows needs to be there in order to maybe share personal details of their lives and just to talk and just open up. And you have no idea the things you might say to them that might have been overlooked by someone else that you might say that could just really, really change their outlook about everything. And it was, again, I was just in awe. I really, really was, because I wasn't expecting it. But going back to her childhood experience, you can see by this example how the home has that much importance in the child's upbringing, how it can just shape everything, shape their character, their well-being. Everything begins directly right there in the home, right there in the house. Earlier this morning, the kid's granddaddy called. Oh, look at this mosquito just flew in my house. I don't know where he come from. You got to get out of here. The kid's granddaddy called, and my son didn't answer the phone because he has his own little phone that he uses for the family that calls and like little video calls. And he called, and I was outside, and when I walked back in the house, he told me that his granddaddy called. And well, I said, well, what did he say? Well, I said, I didn't talk to him because I told him it was Sabbath, and that it was Sabbath day, and for him to call me after sundown. And when he said that, I was just like, man, this is amazing. You got to be doing something right. You have to. And I look at, both of my kids, and I can just see their characters, the way they're being formed, how they just play off of each other. I mean, they're inseparable. I see certain qualities in my son that can be used. I see certain qualities in my daughter, and I can just see certain things that it's hard to explain. It really, really is. Lord, I know that you can do something with both of them. Whatever it is, just use it to the fullest. And that right there, just seeing my son just, step up in that position when he could have easily been coaxed by his granddad to talk and to go on and on and on about this, that, or whatever. But he didn't. Even just a couple of days ago, they were having a conversation because his granddad had took the vaccine. He had took the shot. And I can see with both of my children, they're very sad. They're very sad about it. They knew the consequences. We talk about this almost every single day. When I get up in the morning to prepare for work, the first thing I do, after I'm prepared, eating and getting ready to go out the door, is that I turn on the news just so I can see what will be the talk, what will be the water cooler talk, so I can kind of prepare mentally what the subject is going to be when I get to work. And it's all the time. It's nothing but COVID. It's COVID, the vaccine. And my kids, I know they get tired of me. I know they get tired of me just saying, like, all this is just a bunch of lies going on and on and on and on and on. But seeing that, when their granddaddy called and told them that he had took it, I could just see how sad they were getting because they know the consequences of this thing. And so many people that are passing away from the reaction, just passing away from the shot in general, just going, it's not good. It's not good at all. And it's getting to the point with me where it's starting to hit home. It's starting to hit home, and I'm going to talk about that a little later because now I'm having coworkers who are taking the vaccine, and now I'm also having family members that are taking it. So it's getting very, very, very personal. I didn't think it would get to this level, but when it comes to the television, when it comes to people where they work at, who they're around, where this shot is just constantly being pushed in their face, then after a while, it's going to hit home. It is. So I'm very, very thankful in having my children step up in the face of that and realizing their need to speak out. To speak out concerning the vaccine, concerning the savages, concerning a lot of things that I teach and show them. But again, it all begins in the home. It begins right there in the home. And that kind of focuses on the subject today for our SOP reading. This is March 27th. And let me see. Again, this comes from the book, Ye Shall Receive Power. And the subject is godliness, March 27th. And the key verse here being Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took it. And Sister White says, godliness is the fruit of Christian character. If we abide in the vine, we shall bear the fruits of the Spirit. The life of the vine will manifest itself through the branches. We must have a close and intimate connection with heaven if we bear the grace of godliness. Jesus must be a guest in our homes, a member of our households, if we reflect his image and show that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. So that goes back to the home. That goes to the home right there in the house. I mean, even now, with just so much, I think we talked about this last week about, you know, being busy and being under Satan's yoke because of just so many distractions that are out there. When it comes to the Word of God and reading the Word, it's just like no excuse. There should be no excuse at all to spend time with him on a daily basis. I mean, social progress, the inventions of digital media, it has made the Bible available to and accessible to anyone. Anyone. But the enemy is working hard. I mean, brothers and sisters, he's working overtime to keep you, to keep me, to keep all out of this book. He's just trying. He is trying. And with many, he is being very, 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 very successful. The enemy has changed his tactics over the years. I mean, we used to talk about how he changed the language. He changed the language. In the past, he kept the people from reading the scriptures by confining the Bible to an unknown tongue, you know, the Latin. But we had reformers who came in and changed or transcribed the word into a language that the people could read at that time, being English. But now we have so many things that are trying to capture and take our attention. I mean, emails, text messages, phone calls, television, always a TV, movies, social media, sports. It's just, it goes on and on and on and on and on with the distractions. There's just so much. I mean, there'll be times where I'll be looking for something, you know, on YouTube, an article to research or a video to kind of a post or just something to talk about. And YouTube is notorious for this. So you'll be looking at a video, and then on the side, it'll be something like suggested videos. And it'll be like a little dog video or something, some cat doing something, you know, like a little animal. And like, okay, I can go in and I click and just take a little break from the videos. And sometimes I do it and I look up, and you know, a few minutes have passed by, you don't think nothing of it. Before you know it, a whole hour has passed by. Hour and a half, 2 hours. So it's totally taking you away from what you were doing, from what you were looking for. And just something as simple as an animal video can just take you in a different direction. But that's how he works. That's how he works. If you don't keep your eyes focused and your eyes single, he will come in quickly with a distraction. He will come in quickly. You got to recognize the temptations and be prepared for them. You got to be prepared, especially with the technology. Again, I am so amazed by the people that I come across that do not like to read. I used to work with a guy who's like that. I mean, he's just like, Andre, I don't like reading. Dude, he was fella, he was older than me. I think he was in the mid-40s. But everything that he knew concerning the word or about religion, scriptures, everything was either video from the pastor or from something directly from the church website, or audio book, which I'm not against, because when I'm riding back and forth to work, I would turn it on. It's a pretty, it's not a short drive. But it gives me enough time to listen to a chapter while I'm driving. So I'm not against that. But if that's just, your whole basis when it comes to the word, when you have the ability to read, and there's a problem. There is a problem. I mean, it's obvious I can't, read and drive at the same time. But if I can listen while I'm driving, that's very, very profitable, because I'm still able to listen to the word while I'm on the road. But if you have the ability to read, then by all means, pick up the Bible and read. And read and read and read. But people don't. They don't do it. But there's no wonder why people are lining up to receive this vaccine without time, without taking the time to read the constant forms or even read the ingredients that are in it. The TV makes people passive, more susceptible to go with the flow. You know, I am saddened. I am so saddened when I heard that the kid's granddad had taken it. And then even more saddened when I heard that my own aunt had taken the vaccine. Again, it just seems like my cousin, Jason, who I talk about here often, I don't know, he's got to be going through something with the enemy there between what happened with his business getting burnt down, and then he told me, he sent me a message while I was at work, and said, Dre, don't tell anybody this, don't tell anybody what I'm telling you within the family, because they don't know what I know, but I know my mom went and took the shot. She went and took it. I don't know if she took the second dose yet, but she went and took the shot. And she don't know that I know, but I've talked to her verbatim. This is him speaking. I've talked to her about the stuff they put in it. I've talked to her about what this is leading up to, everything, and it just seems like none of it had no type of effect at all. None. None, because she went and did it anyway. She went and did it. And I see a lot of older people. I see a lot of older people, those who are like 65 and up, who are very, very passionate about the mask, very passionate about taking the vaccine. Now, not all of them, but for the most part. Now, when it comes to the elderly, what do they spend most of their time? They spend most of their time in front of the TV. Most of their time is spent right there with the television that is constantly talking about COVID all throughout the day, whether it not be the shows, the news reports, the commercials, so they get that constant reminder to wear their masks, to social distance, to wash their hands, and whenever the vaccine is available to them, that they must take it, that they must take it. The people are being rolled into the New World Order, and they have no idea. No idea. Well, there's your post right here in the text here. It says, the first time ever they had consent forms for people to sign, but right in it transfers all liability to the person. Yeah, yeah. And takes it away from the vaccine companies. And people have no idea. You get injured by these vaccines. You cannot sue them. You cannot sue. They are untouchable concerning what kind of effect you will have when you are injured by these vaccines. Untouchable. But again, just going back to people being rolled into the New World Order. You see what's going on in New York with the introductions of digital passports. They're bringing those in. And soon, this will be all over. I mean, Israel's already doing it. Here it is in New York City. Matter of fact, let me pull this up here, this headline, which says New York launches nation's first vaccine passport. So in a lot of cases, it's either California or New York. And as these two states go, you see the rest of the nation follows in line. And the key word here in this headline is cities. Cities, cities, cities. Other cities to follow. Let me just read a little portion of this on what they are doing here. It says starting Friday, so this was yesterday when this article was released, so next Friday, the beginning of April, New Yorkers will be able to pull up a code in a cell phone to prove that they've been vaccinated against COVID or have tested negative for the virus. So that is the foundation that they are using. Either you take the vaccine or you prove that you've received a negative test, even though the PCR tests have been proven over and over and over, even by the very agency that promotes them, the CDC. and who saying that the PCR tests are unreliable and should not be used, yet these are the basis to see whether or not someone has COVID. So the hypocrisy in that, the hypocrisy. But again, when the television just pumping out, you got to go get tested, 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 when people do not recognize that these tests are no good at all. Even the very president of Tanzania, who came out and spoke vehemently against the use of the PCR test, against the use of the vaccines, testing different objects, animals, and how some of the things that shouldn't be testing positive came up positive, things that should test positive came up negative, some were inconclusive. Now he's dead. For speaking out against the narrative. This vaccine passport is something that we're going to see here, brothers and sisters, in the very, very near future. This one here is called the, XL Cyber Pass. I don't know if I'm saying that right. It's EXCELSIOR. I could be saying it. I have no idea. But it says it will be useful at large-scale venues like Madison Square Garden, so the sporting arenas. You know, people have been so far removed from being able to go to the concerts, being able to go to sport venues, a lot of these places. So they will have no problem accepting this passport, anything to get me to go back to see my favorite ball team, anything to be able to go and see my favorite artists at this concert. I would do it if whatever the means, just let me be able to go back and see these people. This is the mindset that they're having. And the same ones who are promoting and pushing it, these celebrities, these athletes, then the people will say, oh, if they have no problem with it, then I have no problem with it. A lot of people associate themselves and their characters based on these athletes, based on these celebrities, based on politicians. It's right here, and it's being introduced through them, which will soon be all over the nation and global here in the coming future. Okay, so this right here also says, like an airline boarding pass, people will be able to prove their health status with a digital QR code or quick response machine readable label. They enter their name, their date of birth, their zip code, and answer a series of questions to confirm their identity. And the data will come from the state's vaccine registry and also will be linked to testing data from a number of pre-approved companies. So they're going to link all this information. All your personal information. Personal information. You can see how that will be used when it comes to the enforcement of the mark. This is a testing ground. Using this software, using this data until it's perfected. So when it comes time to enforce the mark, it's that easy to make the switch because the technology is already there. It's already there. It's already in position. And if people are accepting this now, they'll have no issue accepting it in the future. That's why you see many, 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 many people who are being threatened, who are being harassed, they're being abused, losing their jobs and their license because of their stance against the vaccine, their stance against wearing the mask. The government is putting out a zero tolerance if you speak out against the narrative. I mean, in that same state of New York where this vaccine passport is being rolled out, I came across this headline about this judge, this mom who lost her child simply because she did not want to put on a mask. And this lady was a doctor. This headline, New York City judge removes six-year-old from mother because she didn't wear a mask while dropping off her child at school. Granted, the child is already at school. Matter of fact, I'm going to read this. It's not lengthy. I'm going to just read this. All right, so the New York City judge has removed a six-year-old girl from a mother because she did not wear a mask while dropping off her child at school. All right, it says it was a normal day for the doctor until her entire life turned upside down until her mother explained in a phone call that her daughter was already inside the building and wearing a mask. When the school nurse and school security attempted to force her to wear a mask on the public street in front of a building where drop-offs take place. I mean, she's in a public area. There's no one around her. Then what's the point of the whole six feet social distancing, and you still got someone on a mask? I mean, if you got on your mask and you're social distancing, then what is the problem? Why do I have to put on one? Because it's not about the mask. And they know it's not about the mask. It's about this control and this power. And when you give these people this control and this power, they're not going to let it go. They're not going to let it go, especially within a government agency or anything that's government ran. The mother explained that the school nurse had came out and was aggressively demanding that she put on a mask. But she was already leaving and did not know and did not accept it. So she was on her way away from the school. Her daughter was already there. She was leaving the school, and this nurse had just came out and told her to wear the mask. And the nurse came out and told her to wear the mask. Next thing I know, my daughter is taking away from me. Now, I guess there's some legal issue going on with this mom. She's a doctor, but I guess she has an issue with the child's father. And I guess here it says that the father had went and, like, filed for, like, emergency custody. The way she was explaining, like, he has some situation where she has custody, but the father is now taking this opportunity to obtain full custody, because he's in favor of, you know, wearing the mask and all that stuff. So now he's using this to petition the judge to get custody. Right now, the state has her child. The state has her child simply for not wearing a mask, even though she was leaving the area. Can you just see where all of this is going? I'm amazed when I talk to people who come down here who are from New York, from this area, because a lot of people who are leaving the state to get away because of just the rules, the price increases on everything. They come down to Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, and they find peace. They come down here and they're just like, wow, this is so much different. So much different. I mean, y'all got nature. I can hear birds chirping. I never hear that when I'm going New York. It's always sirens or gunshots. You can't even see the trees outside because there's all these tall buildings. So I come down here and everything is so relaxed. Y'all don't make a big issue about wearing these masks or just everything is so different, so different. So it just puts more emphasis on getting out of the cities, brothers and sisters, getting out of the cities and getting out in nature the way God intended. Being able to be self-sufficient, it's very, very difficult to hear his voice being in the city. Very difficult. You go outside, you get outside in the woods, you go outside in nature, you just see God everywhere. He's there. And here there's just less of the government hammer being pinned down on you, so to speak, when you're in the country versus being in a city. It's a whole lot different. I'm going to post this in the Telegram a little later, but again, they made it real, real, real difficult for her. And to make matters worse, once they took her child, they only gave her two supervised visits. So someone had to be with her, supervised visits with her daughter per week. And while she's in her own home, it says, while she's in her own home, she has to wear a mask. Even in her own house. Again, what is the point? What is the purpose of it? This stuff is spreading. It is spreading like a plague. It's going to continue until it hits home, brothers and sisters. It's going to continue. And it's not just the cities. It's not just the cities. The universities are also doing the same thing. The colleges. A lot of these students are preparing to getting ready to leave. And before you know it, the fall semester will be approaching. Well, a lot of these schools are not allowing enrollment now into their schools as an incoming freshman and to the universities unless you can require proof that you have been vaccinated. You have to show proof. This one right here is from Rutgers University, which is also a neighboring state to New York. They're gonna demand proof. You cannot come. You cannot come unless you have vaccine from the ones that have been approved or show the negative test. So one or the other. Really, if you're gonna get that test, which in some places, I think I've read in either Australia or anything in the UK, where they're gonna require people to take 2 COVID tests every single day. Every single day. Taking a COVID test. You may be negative for a whole week, and you may be quarantined in your house for such time, but with a test that has been proven unreliable, sooner or later, it's going to come up positive, and they're going to require you to take this vaccine. And there's some serious, serious, serious things going on in the UK right now with the protests, with the chaos, with the rioting. I mean, I'm just like, whoa, I mean, I'm amazed. A lot of the people, they are fed up with these lockdowns. They are fed up with their tyrannical government, and they are starting to stand up and fight back. Now, on the news, you won't see it. You will not see a peep from the news. And believe it or not, brothers and sisters, this is happening worldwide. It's happening in multiple countries. And you would think something like that would be happening here, but there's more focus on taking away people's guns, focusing on what's with racial issues, focusing on what happened on January 6th. Still to this day, still talking about that, you know, overlooking what's going on in Colorado, what happened there with the Muslim who had was shot and killed all these people. I mean, it's just sometimes I look at these articles and just like, wow, this is so much going on. So much. It just continues. But somehow or another, they still find a way to get it right back to the whole COVID thing. Yeah. And you are there in the UK. You are there, so you know exactly what's going on with these protests. You are there, Brother Gideon, so you have a first-hand insight. It is insane. I see many, many videos about what is going on there and how you guys are being treated. Germany, I mean, just it is happening globally, but the news is covering it up. You're not seeing it. That people are fed up. They are fed up. They know, and they're starting to wake up. They're starting to do what most Americans should be doing, and that's their own research, knowing that the government is getting tyrannical, and they're exerting their control to an extent where it has absolutely nothing to do with the virus, and they know it. They know it. And it's a shame when you have social media groups like Facebook and Twitter who are coming in, who are being asked by politicians, who are being asked by different scientists and doctors, like, hey, you have this big, huge platform. You need to come in and stop these anti-vaxxers from coming in and spreading their misinformation. They're spreading all their falsehoods about what is going on with COVID and the vaccine. Let me see if I can pull this one up. Yeah, this was from Reuters. Here, there's a bunch of attorneys who had got together, a bunch of lawyers that got together and said this. We got to stop all these anti-vaxxers. We have to stop them. We have to stop them because they don't have the medical expertise. They don't have it. They're motivated by financial gain. Like, brothers and sisters, no one on here is motivated by money. I'm not. Pastors, not. None of you are. What we're seeing here is easily obtainable data available on the VIRS website, multiple channels, multiple doctors, multiple healthcare workers who are speaking out on what they see firsthand, family members of loved ones who have died from this vaccine. How is that misinformation? How is it misinformation? How do these companies expect to speak out and stop those who are pro-vax? Pro-vax! But are dying from the shot. The people who are in favor of the vaccine, who was like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to get it. I mean, my family's been vaccinated. All I do is all I know is shots. People are pediatricians. Everything that goes along with the whole vaccine narrative. Yet they take it and they are dying. But I'm sure you've seen the one post about the one young lady. I've seen it on screenshot of the Facebook post. This girl, I think her name was Desiree. Matter of fact, yeah, I got the picture of it. Yeah, I took it from the Telegram. And then I found some more information about her later, about her post. But this is what she put. I mean, this girl was all for the vaccine. She went and took it. She went and took this thing on March 10th, and she posted her response to it. He says, the vaccine is killing me today. My arm hurts beyond exhausted, headaches, stomach cramps, and earaches. And the same thing was happening to one of my coworkers that took the vaccine. And they were having a conversation about it at work, and I guess they were trying to be like a little secretive because they knew my thoughts and feelings about it. They know what I speak vehemently against taking a shot. And he said, oh, well, you can't be talking about this around him because you know how he is. And I didn't say anything. I didn't say anything at all. I just got kind of quiet. But the same questions they were asking him, like, how do you feel? It's the exact same thing this girl is saying on this Facebook post. Exact same thing. My arm hurts. I'm beyond exhausted. Headaches, stomach cramps, earaches. Multiple people told me I look pale today. Yesterday I'm fine, but today is taking a toll on me. That was on March 10th. 1 week later, the girl died. 1 week later, the girl died. And that's just so many, 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 many of these same articles, same ones that I see on a daily basis of people dying. I'm the UK, they have a pretty good database. I mean, over here, the one here in America, with the VIRS database, there's only 1% is reporting. So there's so many cases of people who are experiencing reactions that are dying, that go on unreported because these different doctors, nurses are afraid of losing their jobs. They're afraid. They're afraid of losing their jobs, afraid of losing their license. I mean, even over in the UK, it's very, very, very bad. And their database is quite extensive. It is. And they do update it. But I was just looking at it. And this is one of the ones that I had based on the Pfizer vaccine. On the Pfizer vaccine. Just the different reactions, the different the things that are happening to these people. This one right here. I guess this was from last week's reports. It's just information that I have as of last week. 2,800 blood disorders, including the death. 1,300 cardiac disorders, including 33 deaths. 900 ear disorders. Almost 2,000 eye disorders. 2,400 infections, including 43 deaths. 20,000 nervous system disorders, including 18 deaths. 39 pregnancy conditions, including the death. Urinary disorders, almost 300, including death. 527 reproductive disorders. Almost 4,700 respiratory disorders, including 15 deaths. I mean, this is ridiculous. That's just one of the vaccines. Then they go on and they talk about the AstraZeneca vaccine. Almost 105,000 general disorders, including 179 deaths. I mean, this list is extensive, just listing all these different effects, all these different disorders, and all of these deaths for a total from this vaccine, 300,000 injuries from the vaccine. And 326 deaths. 326 deaths. Or in the Pfizer, 108,000 injuries and 259 deaths. 259 deaths. I mean, this is unreal. This is absolutely unreal. Just looking, scrolling down, just looking at these different headlines. 31-year-old Italian professor dead from this AstraZeneca vaccine. 2,500 dead from following COVID vaccines. That's 300 deaths added this week from the J&J shot, the Johnson & Johnson shot. Kansas City Councilwoman dead out of receiving the experimental COVID vaccine. 3,900 dead and 162,000 injuries. I mean, this is two men dead at senior care home. That's just going on and on and on and on. These are nurses. These are nurses are dying. Doctors that are dying from taking this shot. And I'm sure they were all in favor of vaccines. All of them were. Yet the television, the news, teachers, and pastors are continuing to push people to get this shot. Like I said, I turn on the news and I look at it just to see what the talk is going to be. And I see the governor up here in the state of Georgia is placing special emphasis on members of the clergy to persuade members to get the jab. They are using pastors. Pastors are persuading their flocks to go and get this death-dealing shot. It wouldn't be long before we see one of these mainstream pastors who has these big, huge mega churches. Of course they're going to push it. And here's one right here. After declaring Jesus Christ was the remedy for COVID-19, which he is, he's the remedy for all sickness, because most people don't understand it. It's not a sick problem, it's a sin problem. John Hagee is now taking the vaccine. So in the beginning, he's very, very adamant. I'm like, no, just trust and believe and pray and everything will be all right. And now just switched it completely up and goes and say that he's going to take this death-dealing shot. Let me pull up a little excerpt from this here. This was really just a couple of days ago. So months after John Hagee, or this, I guess he's on this big mega church in San Antonio, Texas, as he declared Jesus Christ as the vaccine, many words you could use, I'll just use that one, for COVID, after he was hospitalized with the virus. His ministry has clarified that he believes in prayer and medicine and is taking the vaccine. He says, I'm sitting in my chair today to the testimony of the healing power of Jesus. I spent 15 days in hospital with pneumonia. That's what you had. You didn't have COVID. You had pneumonia. And when you went in, they told you that you had COVID. Like many people who go to these hospitals already have some type of underlying condition. There's already something wrong with them. Already. Especially now. I looked outside this morning while I was out walking about. I said, man, the sky is like, it was like you can play tic-tac-toe in the sky. And the chemtrails were just like, whoa, this is something else. They are spraying the sky. The clouds were not natural at all. Everything that I saw in the sky this morning was nothing but chemtrail. And when you add the chemtrails, it's also pollen season. A lot of people, even those that I work with, see on a regular basis, or they're sneezing, they're coughing, they got the headaches. And when they experience these symptoms, the first thing they're going to do is like, oh, I must have COVID. I got the symptoms. This is what I see. This is what they say on the news. If you have these symptoms, then you need to go and get checked out. So they go and they go get these COVID tests. And sure enough, the doctors who are, you know, motivated by the money are going to say, yes, you have COVID. You definitely have COVID. And just like this pastor here, because he believed that he had it. Now he's pushing the vaccine. And many governors are encouraging members of the clergy to do exactly the same. To go and get this shot. That's why it's so important, brothers and sisters. So important to have yourself grounded when it comes to the truth about what is going on with the shot. Do your research. There's many articles available that are posted. On the website, on the Telegram. I mean, just do your research and be prepared to give those answers to people that ask you when it comes to your position concerning the vaccine, concerning the mask, concerning everything that has to do with this COVID. It all begins right there teach to your loved ones, teach to your, and show to your spouse, significant other, children, right there in your home. Well, I know I got kind of got away from our reading. Let me finish this up because, oh man, I just went on a pretty tangent right there, but I get pretty passionate about this vaccine. I really, really do. I do. And I know I shared my personal testimony with my granddad many, many times, but that really hits home. It hits home for me when it comes to the shots. But let me go back and finish this up. We'll get kind of close to Brother Sean here. All right, let me see. Okay, she says, religion is a beautiful thing in home. If the Lord abides with us, we shall feel that we are members of Christ's family in heaven. We shall realize that angels are watching us, and our manners will be gentle and forbearing. We shall be fitting up for entrance into the courts of heaven by cultivating courtesy and godliness. Our conversation will be holy, and our thoughts will be up on heavenly things. Enoch walked with God. He honored God in every affair of life. In his home and in his business, he inquired, will this be acceptable to the Lord? Oh, I'm glad you said that, sister, about Dolly Parton, because when I was researching about these different celebrities who were wearing the mask and not wearing the mask and they're out in public, this Dolly Parton video came up, and she had wrote a song. She took one of her old songs that my daughter, I caught her singing one time. It was this old song. How do you know about that? It's an old song. And she had taken it, rewrote it, and instead of the words Jolene, she put vaccine in its place. I mean, you got the different singers and actors and celebrities who are changing their songs to fit the whole vaccine narrative. I kind of like they're just going on and on and on and on to promote and push it. And this thing was so bad. There's someone posted this in Telegram. This is so bad. And why do you need all these different celebrities and actors? And why do you need all of this if people are dropping like flies and dying all in the streets from COVID? Why do you need this constant 24/7 media push to remind you of the plan of a pandemic? If it's that bad, I should just look outside and know that it's a pandemic. That's what it should be. But I go to work every day. I go to grocery store, post office. I see the same people every day, and I do not know one person. I have not come across one person yet who have died from this shot. I know many, 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 many people who have been injured or died from this vaccine. Unreal. She goes on to say, we are exhorted to add to godliness, brotherly kindness. Oh, how much we need to take the step to add this quality to our characters. In many of our homes, there is a hard, combative spirit manifested. Critical words and unkind actions are offensive to God. Dictatorial commands and haughty, overbearing manners are not acceptable to heaven. The reason there are so many differences existing between brethren is that they have failed to add brotherly kindness. We should have that love for others that Christ has had for us. A man is estimated at his true value by the Lord of heaven. If he is unkind in his earthly home, he is unfit for the heavenly home. If he will have his own way, no matter whom it grieves, he should not be content in heaven unless he could rule there. The love of Christ must control our hearts, and the peace of God will abide in our homes. And that is so true. I'm definitely thankful for my own personal experience. Again, I go back to the kind of conversation I was having with my coworker. When we talk about, you know, if there are certain things in your life, would you change? Like, would you change? I'm like, no, I wouldn't. I mean, well, a little bit, just if I knew what I do now. I mean, everybody says that. But I mean, our experiences shape who we are right now. And this becomes our character. And we learn, you know, even with me, when I used to have just my temper. It was, you couldn't be around me in my 20s. You couldn't, because the person you see now is definitely not the same. It was not good. It was not good at all. And a part of that, my daughter experienced it. She experienced it. It is definitely, she could see the change versus, how I was then versus now, it's way different. I mean, my temper was like, oof, it was very bad. It was very, very bad. But I have no problem talking about it because I knew how I was, and the marked difference from then and now, huge difference. I do want to share this one thing before I close out here that one just came across earlier. Because of one of my ex-coworkers who was telling me that he was going down to Disney for a little vacation, and we're just talking, having a conversation about him. And when I kind of speak about the vaccine and stuff like that, it kind of goes in one ear and out the other. But in talking about it, he was telling me that they have to wear the mask. Of course they do, it's Disney World, so they have to confine to wearing the mask and everything. But when she was telling me about it, I was going into it, she kind of was looking into their policies and procedures. And now they're using this facial recognition in Disneyland just to be able to go over to the gate. You have to be able to have on, you have to be able to pass facial recognition, be able to get the ticket to go in there. And when you do, they are asking people, yeah, you can remove your hat, you can remove your sunglasses to be identified, but you have to keep your mask on. So that just goes back to what we talked about months ago concerning this mask. That facial recognition, they can recognize who you are even with the mask on. Only thing they need is your eyes. That's all they need is your eyes and your eyes alone. Even with the rideshare app, it hasn't been introduced to Lyft, but Uber does it. Uber does it. They will not let you utilize the app. You cannot even turn it on. I mean, you go to turn it on and get ready to accept rides. You cannot turn it on until you show them a photo that you have on face cover. So, okay, so I tried it a few times. And even when I was picking up people, they know I'm not wearing this thing. I'm not putting this on. I'm not putting it on. I've had just a few who've asked me. Not they asked me, like, okay, I'll put it on. And both of them were like seniors. They were older. I'm sure there's been a whole lot of time in front of television to hear about the whole mask. But I tried this one time. You know, I put it on just so they can, you know, have the facial recognition. And then when that time comes, I'm like, I'm not putting this thing on. This is crazy. It's crazy. I said, let me try something. Let me see if this is really about the mask or if it's about facial recognition with the eyes. So I just put my hand over my face. I put my hand on my face, covered my nose, covered my lips, and took the picture, and sure enough, it recognized, it accepted it, and it said that I was, you know, I had the proper face cover and everything, even though I didn't. I just had my hand over my nose and over my mouth, and it still accepted it. That's what this is all about. That's what this is all about, is using your eyes as an identity means. The phones are already doing it. Some of these newer iPhones, they use your face to be able to unlock the phone. So this is where the technology is being driven, brothers and sisters. Being driven to be on a more personal, data-driven level. With the biometrics, with using your facial features to recognize who you are. To be able to point you out in the crowd. I mean, China already has these methods to point out people. Tens of thousands of people on the street. And they use this technology to just find just one person in the midst of this huge crowd. So once this technology is perfected, if it isn't already, just waiting for the people to accept it on a national and global scale, we will see more and more draconian measures, so to speak, more tyrannical measures being imposed on our government that we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine. So if there's not the time to be shielded and grounded, and to have the peace and faith of Christ, the time is now. I see people who are buying up their guns, they're buying ammunition, they're just going on and on. It's self-protection. There's nothing. There's nothing, absolutely nothing, protecting yourself versus having a hedge of angels protect you and your loved ones and everything around you. It's a huge, huge, huge difference. Huge difference. That's where we're heading. And that is where society is now. But we knew it was coming, so we're not going to lose faith. We're not going to lose hope. We knew that we were just racing toward. We know that we're racing toward those these final days in Earth's history. But I did go a little over. I do apologize for that. Next week will be, let's see, we're going to a new month next week, Lord willing. And I'm sure we'll probably cover something dealing with that pagan holiday that's coming up pretty soon. Oh boy, I just, when you get into these, holidays, that's next, it is, next Sunday, not this Sunday coming up, that's next Sunday. So we'll probably have a few things to cover concerning that. All right, but it is a little after the top of the hour. Brother Sean, let me see if he's in the house. Yep, he is here. So I'm going to shut down my mic. Oh yeah, we are in the 11th hour, all right. I mean, we are knocking on the door. It's closer than we can even imagine. When we are that close to the appearing of the Son of God, that means we are also that close to the appearing of Satan on this earth. Man, oof. What kind of experience that is going to be, only time will tell. All right, so I'm going to drop my mic, and the next voice you will hear will be that of Brother Sean. So thank you. God bless, and Sabbath blessings to each and every one. I love you all.